coming to you live from the Built. Why do I keep doing that?
That's Ford tough.
I mean, I guess Ford. I'm calling you guys. I'm like, listen, Ford. I haven't driven a Ford, and I had an Edge once. In so many ways. Get it? Yes. We're coming to you live from the Flipping Made Easy studio here in Matawan, New Jersey. Welcome to the Chop Sports Daily. Your host, Sturch and Gooch, and of course, AJ working vigorously behind the scenes to get all your graphics and produce this banger of a show. It is Thirsty Thursday, October the 14th, and we finally are entering week number six. 6 weeks of NFL action already. I feel like we did a lot of hype and build up for the season, and now all of a sudden it's we're here, baby. Like it's we're in the swing of things. Yesterday we gave our quarter of the season awards. We gave those out, so I hope they received them. They hope they received their t-shirts and their Chop Sports merchandise. I know for a fact that guys like Josh Allen will be wearing his Chop Sports merchandise. It's great. It's great to know that we're spreading the good word of
shit.
Chop Sports.
What? I didn't get a children's size for Kyler Murray. I sent him an adult. Oh, perfect. Shit.
Perfect. There's so much to go over as far as in this world of sports today. And like as I said, it's week six of the NFL. Thursday Night Football kicks off tonight with the Philadelphia Eagles taking on the Tampa Brady Buccaneers in Philadelphia. And we'll talk about that game. We got some new segments for you later on in the show. I will start off by saying this, not so much on a monologue type scenario because I don't want to do this. But shout out to everybody who plays competitive softball, you know, cause I'm just like, I was feeling a sort of way last night and I was feeling it this morning. I know you read that I legged out the triple and you're wondering to yourself, how is this humanly possible? Right. Cause you've seen me run.
Yes.
I am a slow individual, right?
They had three out. They were down a man.
No, not down a man.
Down a woman.
Down. No. There were. All right. I'll preface this by saying this. I was flying out to left center, left field all night long. One nice hit past the shortstop at one point, but my last at bat, I was feeling it. I was like, you know what? It's time to just launch off. And I saw that there was no respect being given into left field. And she was a gamer, though. Okay, I put it over her head, and by the time I broke into this cocky home run Griffey thing where I watch and I hear the bench.
So you robbed yourself of an inside the parker?
I mean, if I would have hit an inside the park home run, I would still be on oxygen right now. And I tagged up from third, and even that sprint home, I was like, dude, this is bad news bears. But yeah, I mean,
Dave's
like,
throwing the word sprint around rather loosely right now.
Right. It's not a sprint. I tried. I listen, stand up triple. My first in about 15 years. It was a lot harder than I thought, but it was a stand-up, so I knew I was going to get there, right? So at the end of the night, I hear this comment, and I'm like, what did you just say? Like, there was a comment made that basically anybody who plays competitive sports right now, as an adult, 36, you're 39, there's other people that are older than us that still go. Jimmy Palumbo's 56 years old. He still fills in from time to time. So there's people that like to play competitive sports, but the comment was made that saying that, like, you're only playing that because you're, like, pissed off that you didn't make it, right? That couldn't be further from the truth, man. Like, I never had aspirations to make it.
I am pissed off that I didn't make it, though.
Of course.
I am pissed off I didn't make it. I thought I'd be retired shortstop of the New York Yankees or the
right, like you, like when you're growing up and you see Jeter tipping his hat, you're like, well, one day that's gonna be me, right? And like, but like, why? Like, I'll ask you,
not really in the Jeter case, he's like 5 years older than me, so
oh yeah, true, and he now owns a freaking organization. But I ask you, like, why do you continue to play? What is your drive? And I'm not just talking about softball, dude. There's tournaments that you participate in. There's tennis. There's like, why do you do it?
The reality of it is, there is some truth in my case to what he's saying. I am so upset that I didn't make it that I'm trying to relive my glory days on the Woodbridge. You know, come on. That's not really what it is. I just like to play sports, stay active.
Stay active. You know? Like you it. Compete. It helps your mentals.
I have nothing else going on. Like, I love hanging out with my girlfriend.
Well, no, there's times that you're like, we can't leave the office because I can't play softball tonight. We got so much work to do. And that's true. But like, for those 90 minutes or whatever it is, it's such a release to me. Like, it's such a camaraderie with the dudes and the girls that play with
plus
us.
I love getting injured.
Right, right. You know, I like waking up in the morning knowing that the reason why I can't walk this morning is because I legged out a triple. And then I went to the gym anyway. Shout out to me. Like, come on, bro. Like, I was feeling a sort of way last night.
You know what I did this morning?
What did you do this morning?
I woke up early and watched episode 3 of Squid Game because I am now, I'm on it.
Is it worth it? I watched the preview and I felt very lost. I will say yes,
it's definitely worth it. And I also am going to go ahead and say my pen broke in my hand, so now I have issues going on.
Oh, nice, so nice.
Pick me up, Dave.
All right.
Squid Game is good.
Squid Game is good.
I would watch it. I got past the subtitles in the...
The only thing I've been watching
What is it called? The voiceovers are way off, but...
I mean, that's supposed to be, right?
Jimmy said, instead of trying to fight you. Instead of trying to judge it for that reason, kind of embrace it, and it almost makes it better, and in some ways it does now. And I just brought myself back, and I'm even wearing the Wu-Tang shirt today because... Wu-Tang is for the children.
And it's forever.
And I used to watch the Kung Fu movies back in the day. That's actually kind of where the Chop Sports name came from.
Not Rutgers, unfortunately.
Not Rutgers, but, you know, there's like a couple skits.
Look outside in our common area. There's samurais everywhere.
Yes, exactly. I'm big into the Japanese culture and samurais. I'm not really big on the voiceovers for a TV show that's modern. The Kung Fu movies, they're great because they're almost, it's so bad it's good. And that's kind of where I'm at with the Squid Game. The voiceovers are so bad that they're good.
I have a hard time watching anything like foreign. Like even like, not so much foreign. Like didn't Peaky Blinders it's all British, right?
First of all, Peaky Blinders.
We're all
really just British.
Correct. But I'm saying like, isn't it like, isn't it so rough that there's subtitles, right?
Fucking Blinders.
There's subtitles to that, right?
There isn't. If you add them, it helps. But I love that shit and I speak that language.
I got to watch it.
So I have no issues with the Scouser.
We speak Scouser.
Okay.
Whatsoever. But you know what's a great show? A great show that's half English, half Spanish that it bothers me completely zero is Narcos. You ever see that shit?
There was a movie made, I think, with that. Is that the Pablo Escobar story?
It's the Pablo Escobar, and then they go into Mexico.
Played by Vinny Chase, by the way.
There's two different seasons, and... What?
Entourage.
All right.
I knew you weren't going to like that reference. Anyway, sports programming. Camarena, how about that?
In season two is played by... I don't know, but you know him if you saw him.
Okay, Antonio Banderas.
I'm sure I'll get a text from Hawaiian Mike later, be like, bro, Kiki Camarena played by blah, blah, blah. You know,
yeah, all the facts. He actually hit me up last night and said that he enjoyed Casual Dave back on the Chopheads MMA podcast, which is available now.
And he gave us some info in case somebody came at us because I made a couple.
And I reviewed it. I went back and listened.
In front of this. There was nothing wrong with what I said.
Zero.
I said something about how John Jones would probably still get signed with 1FC because I don't think that they have the same culture that we do as far as how women are treated. And
correct. But that's an accurate statement. Yeah. It's not like, you know, like you're sitting there like, oh, everybody around the world and around the globe, all the foreigners out there keep beating your women. That's not what we're saying.
Also, John Jones isn't going to get cut. So clearly we don't really care either.
Speaking of John Jones, my man, like, so there's, you know, there's things to be said about this guy. And we said it yesterday, a lot of it on the Chopheads MMA podcast. He finally gets, just like you said, as soon as we got done recording, news dropped about John Jones. So we're like, oh, great. You know, that's perfect. Now we can't even talk about it, but we can talk about it here.
I figure, you know what we do? We piggyback off of yesterday's episode and we use it as an opportunity to plug yesterday's episode.
Yeah.
Go out, Chopheads MMA, go on Spotify. What else?
iTunes.
All of it. Google. iTunes is back up and running.
Anywhere
you can listen to a podcast, Chopheads MMA, we talk about the whole John Jones bullshit.
So John Jones is going through it right now. He's got some domestic stuff going on in which we were questioning Dana White, and we were like, okay, what's it going to take for him to be released, outright released from the UFC? Because they already released, what's his name? The other guy.
Luis Pena.
Luis Pena was released. And his girlfriend's fantastic, by the way, because of what she said about him.
The police report's pretty funny.
Not too.
To make another domestic violence joke.
But I will say John Jones was released from his gym, which was step one, I think, in the... I hate using the word cancel because we're not trying to cancel. He's doing this to himself. He's obviously troubled and he's obviously has issues. And we said it yesterday on the podcast. If you want a more in-depth of why these fighters in this game and in this sport are as screwed up as they are, it's because of the sport that they're in. You know, they're a little crazy.
Well, there's underlying issues that are present. It's hard for me to talk like this because there's some fighters that have had great careers and they come out
and they're family men and they're fine. Right.
Exactly. So one bad apple doesn't ruin the bunch in this case. But as far as the way the company is handling it, I think that's a bad look. Shout out to Mike Winklejohn for coming out. He was on the Ariel Helwani MMA Hour last night.
Heel Helwani. Love Heel.
Great interview. Very candid. He's upset by the situation. Obviously, he's been through a lot with John Jones, and he's he's stood by his side the entire time. But when you have a consistent situation happening when there's domestic violence involved, John Jones has three daughters and a fiance of however many years. It's essentially their partners, their life partners at this point. They've got a family together. Yeah. Mike Winklejohn has a wife and three daughters as well. And he teaches self-defense classes to women, and he has his whole movement towards women being smart in situations and you know, how to get out of a...
Our girl Amber has that whole beast within. Yeah, exactly. There's a movement out there for this.
The point is, it's like, how on one hand could you have the star of your gym being a guy that's doing the things that he's doing while you're trying to preach the opposite? And it's just, it's a conflict of interest. And he was very candid about it. He said, look, John has a ton of yes men in his corner. You know, guys that are just
nobody's going to tell him he's doing
exactly
wrong.
What he asked him to do. And, you know, and in part, he was one of the yes men for a really long time. And now it's time. At a certain point, you have to look at yourself in the mirror. And
good
say,
for him. Good for him. And that's awesome. And
John Jones, of course, went out on social media within minutes and played the victim. It really hurts that somebody that I respect so much doesn't support me. No, it's like, John, it's going to take a little bit for you to see this, but this is exactly what support looks like in a situation like this. Like, this is support. Well. If you want to get back to what made you great and the guys that helped you through this, you know, you got to get your shit straightened out.
John Jones, you have no room ever in the history of the rest of your life to play victim. You don't. Like, that's it, man. Like, it's over. And like I said yesterday on the podcast, on the Chop Heads MMA, you know, nobody's going to be waiting, like, on the edge of their seat for the next John Jones fight, you know, because it's going to be a year, if not longer.
Look, I can't imagine it being if this never happened, there's a chance that John Jones didn't fight within
a year. There was a lot of heavy lifting and getting the heavyweight.
Right,
I'm like,
now,
are you
right
actually
now, the way
fight?
The way it's lined up is Ciryl Gane is the champ, and he's pretty much slated to fight Ngannou, right? So John Jones wouldn't even have been in that mix. He would have to wait 6 months till after that fight takes place, which isn't going to take place for months down the line. So John Jones,
and you know what,
regardless,
though,
isn't going to fight for a long
right.
time.
Right, and I am all for, 110% all for, you know, comeback stories and redemption and second chances and all that stuff, right? I'm all for that shit. But when you are a repeat offender of some of this shit, it's just hard to get behind you at this point. Like, it's hard to say, like, oh, man, you know, one day he'll get this right. I know it. You know, I can't do that with John Jones. He's just a piece of shit.
I do the opposite. It's like, I don't believe in John Jones ever getting it right because it's been proven time and time again that he can't. And we've all heard this version of John Jones before. Let's go.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, we got a decent comment that could lead to a nice little segue here. It goes, who's back first, John Jones or Gruden? I think the obvious answer is John Jones.
Yeah, because John Jones is the player in this case.
We went over this yesterday. The coaches and people in the front office and coaches, they don't possess a skill set in which you will draw money towards your brand.
Yeah,
so,
and the ability to lead
championships and whatever else.
The ability to lead a group of men at this point for John Gruden, that ship sailed.
We'll get into this now. Derek Carr comments on John Gruden. Derek Carr is your leader of the Las Vegas Raiders, and I've always liked Derek Carr. I've always thought he did everything the right way. He's a squeaky clean dude. His brother stinks at football, but he made it. You know, this guy made it, and I truly believe that his comments yesterday, which I'm paraphrasing, but he said, "I love John Gruden, but I hate what he did." You know what I mean? Like, I hate the sin, he
this
called
was
it.
The exact, okay. Yeah, he said, I love the man, I hate the sin.
And this is a sin, and a lot of sins. You know what I mean? Like, it's not one instance. You know what I mean? For John Gruden, this has been a multiple-time thing, and maybe a way that he thought for a while. You know, like, maybe all the words that he said was his mindset and the way he thought about certain people.
I mean, it's hard to say maybe at this point, unless it's like...
Correct.
You know, I don't know. I understand, and like this is just the way things were for a really long time, and that's not right. But
no, of course
that's
not
the way things were. So he was operating within a realm of, and that's what the major issue is. That everybody's like, the fact that this was so largely accepted is the issue. And Derek Carr did say, he said, well, what you really have to do now, because it's not fair to us, and this is a little bit of a victim mentality, I believe as well, is he said, well, now you got to open up all the correspondence for all the NFL teams. And I think that that's a little horseshit. It's like, just because this guy over here sells weed,
well,
you know, doesn't mean this one is.
My theory on that is there's 650,000 emails, right? And John Gruden was the one to raise all these red flags. And by the way, did anybody else see this trend on Twitter, red flags?
Yeah, I don't
like what is that? Like, that is, I participated. I said, when somebody says they don't like sports. Red flag. But I didn't understand what I was doing. But anyway, doesn't matter. It's another young generation thing, I'm sure. Just
figure it out.
I mean, yes, like, red flags, red flag, I get it. But all right, so back to...
I saw a funny one, too, where it was like, my red flags look like this, and it was like the golf tee. It was like, not the golf tee, it was like the green.
The hole, the green,
with
yeah.
With the flag, and it was perfect. A red one.
Love it. Like, I love it. That's
my
perfect.
My grass is greener over here.
Yes, I like it. But as far as Derek Carr, even guys like Carl Nassib had to take a day, he said, to compress all this stuff. And look, there's a lot. There was, I think it was 2-3 days ago, it was like literally like National Coming Out Day. You know what I mean? So it's like, It's a very tricky subject, bro. We can't speak on it because we're not in that world. Yeah. We're not.
I'm just, for me specifically, and I'm not, I am a white male. I am really impossible to offend. So like, that's my thing. I'm just like, whatever. I don't give a fuck about anything because it just doesn't do me any good to get bothered by things. So,
well, God bless you for having that strength, yeah. Because last night I was ready to pounce. Like when somebody says something like, I had the Tyson Fury approach. Like, they're like, well, how do you feel? I'm like, I'm going to break your fucking face. That's how I feel. You know what I mean? But look, some people are stronger than others. And when it comes to touchy subjects like this, it's very hard. I find myself hard-pressed to even remotely think that John Gruden didn't think this way his entire life and that he just kind of hit it as he realized that it was not socially acceptable anymore and you can't talk like that anymore. And I say anymore because at one point we just said it. This wasn't really, you know, this was tolerated for a long time. And now that it's not, he had to obviously keep his mouth shut on basically how he feels. It makes me feel a sort of way, though, when John Gruden is a leader of men, right? And he's literally has a locker room of white, black, gay. You're like, he's got all this. He's got the mixed bag in his locker room. And I'm curious to know. You know, and I'm not talking about former players. Former players are going to find themselves relevant right now where they're like, well, I could have told you that shit. You know what I mean? But like current guys, I wish we knew right now. But I feel like John Gruden in 2021 was not the John Gruden in 2011. Does that make any sense? Like he's a leader amongst men now that nobody even, if they never heard of this stuff that dropped, they wouldn't think like that of him. Well, he loves all his players.
I'm not sure that he's been really liked by his players throughout his coaching career.
I think he plays favorites big time, and I think that's been a problem with him for a long time. Some of his lesser talented players don't feel the need to play as hard for him because they don't get the appreciation they deserve.
And I also think that Derek Carr's talking a lot of hot bullshit when he says, I love him. I don't think Derek Carr loves him one bit. I think Derek Carr has a chip on his shoulder because of John Gruden, and John Gruden never actually gave Derek Carr the keys, and Derek Carr had to keep reproving himself, played through injuries.
But doesn't that say something for the Raiders, who literally went with Derek Carr again this year?
I was going to say...
Don't you think the vote of confidence is there because he's there?
I think Derek Carr should thank John Gruden for still being there. I feel like he should have almost been out of town already.
I don't think so. If you look at Derek Carr's numbers, actually,
even this year he was leading the league in passing for 3 weeks.
Bad injury, but the Raiders have been shit. So it's not like you could blame Derek Carr. They haven't had a defense. They haven't had an offensive line outside of 4 years ago. So there's a lot going into that aspect of it. But I just don't think John Gruden was well liked to begin with. I think the Raiders, as an organization, really messed up when they gave a coach 10 years, $100 million.
Rough.
Absolutely absurd.
That's players too. For a guy, look, Yankees are going through it with John Carlo.
For a guy that really is past his prime as a coach, like he's outdated. The fact that he's even involved in this scandal shows exactly how outdated he really is, because you're sending emails in this day and age, and you say it was 10 years ago. That's not entirely true. These emails stemmed from 10 years ago till 2018 or 2019.
Because he's talking about the president, so it wasn't
like this shortened period.
Yeah,
John Gruden is who he is. I don't know if it's for laughs and things like that, but there's comedy, and then there's you're being a professional or you're being unprofessional.
Correct.
When you're a comedian, your job is to push the envelope. When you're a coach, that's not your job.
Correct.
When you're a broadcaster or an analyst, that's not your job.
Correct. Right. I agree wholeheartedly. We stick with one more little bit of a drama story, and that's Kyrie Irving going on Instagram Live last night. So what he did was he came on to kind of clear up as to why he's doing the things he's doing.
Because here's basically...
People thought he was anti-vax, and it's not the case.
What he was saying, I mean, he is, because he's... I feel like he is.
Okay.
And he's not saying it, even though I say I'm not, and I support what... Like, part of
choice.
What's going on. It's like, I just support the choice of it.
Correct.
And he's basically stepping up and trying to be the voice of the voiceless, the 70,000 or
however many. He's not Paul Heyman.
However many people were laid off in the state of New York because of the vaccine mandates, he's saying, like, I'm in a position to actually make some noise on behalf of these people.
I don't know, he's using this as a platform.
Yeah, again. I don't know if it's going to work out. But look, throughout history, there's been guys that have done things like this. Muhammad Ali, you know, he risked his entire boxing career because he didn't want to fight in Vietnam for his beliefs. Now, Muhammad Ali risked everything. He didn't really he hadn't really officially made it yet where he was going to be generational wealthy and things like that. So he laid it all on the line. And Muhammad Ali wasn't really well liked by the public at that point. And now look at what Muhammad Ali is. So I'm not in any way trying to compare Khyri to Muhammad Ali, but I think we all need to take a step back and just realize, like, look, it's his choice. I understand as a fan, people might be like, what the fuck, bro? Like, if I'm a Brooklyn Nets fan, I'm furious, but I'm not. So I'm looking at it from a different lens, and I don't support Khyri as a teammate or as a basketball player, and I would not have signed him, and I wouldn't trade for him and things like that. But I at least respect that he's taking a stand for what he believes. Whether I agree with his side of it or not, I'll respect that aspect of it. Khyri, you're still a jerk off, though.
I mean, yeah. I mean, as far as... This brings me back to a moment where I felt like I said the wrong thing. And it really, like, looking back now, I think to myself, like, boy, that was dumb. It was when I believe CC Sabathia was about to pitch for the Yankees in either a wild card game or a first game of the playoffs or something. And he checked himself in the rehab. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. And I'm like, you selfish son of a bitch. You got a pitch, bro. There's, you know, so like that's where I'm thinking, like, wait a minute. Hold on now. So Khyri, same situation here, almost saying like, no, I don't got to play. And I'm like, going to do this instead. And who am I to freaking
really,
say that?
And really, like, you know,
so it's tricky,
hard to
bro.
Not get political when we have this conversation. And I'm not a political person. Truth be told, I've never voted in my life, so I don't actually have...
Then you can't say anything.
Well, that actually allows me to say whatever the fuck I want, because I don't have any dog in the race.
Could, very true.
You know, it's all the blame is falling on Khyri, and that's the big story. But the reality is, it's like, what's going on in New York is a little crazy right now. And forget what the mandates are for the people that work and live in New York. That's whatever. I get that. But the hypocrisy of the whole thing, where if you play for the Minnesota Timberwolves and you're not vaccinated, maybe you need to be if you play for Minnesota. I don't know.
But wait, you don't need to be. The New York Knicks, the Brooklyn Nets, the Golden State Warriors.
Time out. My question is this: what about every single traveling team that's coming into Brooklyn and New York?
They don't have to be vaxxed.
Yep. And the Brooklyn Nets and the Knicks have said that they've gone on record and said, "All right, that's all right. You guys do you, but we're going to do us."
I don't think it's the Knicks or the Nets. It's the state and the city that they're playing.
I understand that, but like then the city and the state, what are they supposed to say when like the Mavericks come to town?
I think what it has to do with, it's like a paperwork loophole whereas like if you live and are employed in the state of New York, that's the state taxes and things like that. So if you want to, you know, like if you play for the Sacramento Kings, you're not getting paid by New York. You know, you're not paying taxes to New York and things like that. So you don't have to follow those rules. So you're a visiting player. The rules don't necessarily apply. And it really is just a technicality. And that's such a bullshit technicality.
It's so garbage.
Based on those things. What about the fans in the arena? You know, there's a lot of variables here where I'm like, you know, Khyri has some points. I don't like Khyri as a player. Like, I disagree with a lot of the things that he's done, more so from a sports standpoint.
I think it's when he took off for his birthday party that kind of rubbed me the wrong way.
More so from a sports and a teammate standpoint, I have issues with Khyri. I think he's a cancer to teams, for better or worse, for society or not. Like, you sign a contract with a team.
But didn't we actually do a stat last year or knew about a stat last year that the team was fine without him?
Yeah.
Right. So then that should be like... All right, I'm done. Like, that's fine.
This team,
and they did. The Nets literally
not
did.
Not this team specifically, just Khyri Irving teams in general. They've been better in the playoffs without him.
So that's just stats. So it is what it is. Khyri went on like I say, he tried to clear everything up yesterday. Whether or whether not he cleared it up for anybody, there's still people there probably like, what? You know, like, what did he say? Like, what's he trying to tell me? Like, Kyrie's a very confusing individual. He's been that way his entire career. It's weird. I think LeBron just like scarred him for life. I don't know. Like, you know what I mean?
I think,
like,
Kyrie's just a rare cat.
He is. He's a special breed of person out there. But anyway, that was a soft open. But yeah. So anyway, that was our open. That's the news. We're gonna take a break, and when we come back, there's a lot of stuff going on right now. Fantasy sports. There's a game tonight. We got a new segment entitled Primetime Props, where we're gonna give you some of our favorite props, game props that you can bet through BetMGM. So we'll talk about that when we come back. What's going on, guys? This is Sturch, and I'm here to let you guys know about some new happenings with Joe Pizzamenti of Attitude of Gratitude Consulting. This time around, I want to bring you guys up to speed on some of the amazing health and wellness products. These products focus on providing happiness for people, bringing out the four happy hormones in our body. That right away makes me happy. These products aid weight loss, sleep, mental clarity, and energy, just to name a few. They have even created your morning coffee to get your day started off right. That's not all, guys. Joe is in a giving mood, so now if you mention Shop Sports, he's going to provide you with a free discounted private travel website that you can use to book your travel needs. Even better, if you become a customer of Joe's, he's going to give you guys a travel voucher that you can use for up to a year and are only responsible for airfare and taxes. Visit attitudeofgratitudellc.com for more information.
All over the microphone.
Welcome back. Coming to you live from the Flipping Made Easy studio in Mattawan, New Jersey. Welcome back to the show. I hope you guys are having a good Thursday whenever you're listening to this, whether it be live with us right now. Go subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're kicking things up a notch over there. We're going to be adding more content and channels and all that cool shit involved with YouTube. And, of course, follow us everywhere on Instagram. Did you notice that the Derrick Henry thing is getting traction again?
Yeah.
What?
Weird. Like, we made a Derrick Henry reel about 3 weeks ago, and, like, last couple nights, like, people have been watching it again. And I don't know why. It's a weird thing. But at least we won't get flagged for violence unless you consider him stiff-arming people to death.
Explain how as that violence happens.
Yeah, please.
Do it on the show?
Yeah, no.
Right, sure.
Please
it's
explain.
It's a hashtag thing. So if you have a hashtag in your hashtag group that's starting to trend again and your video is
just
good,
so happens to be up there,
it'll hit up on people's For You page and you start to get traction on old videos. That's why hashtagging is in fact important on Instagram.
I dig. All right, so we do have some fantasy football coming up this week. I know for me it's a must win in certain leagues, so I have questions. I know there's people out there with their seasons on the line right now. When, like, with that 17th game, or not 17th game, but at least the 14th fantasy game, right? It does leave you a little bit more room for error, I feel like. Like, if you start off 2-4 right now, you still have, like, nice 8-game chunk to get yourself back in.
First of all, no matter what, if you're 2-4, there's a playoff team that's 4-2. Or what is it, 3-3. You know what I mean? Like, You're right there.
So don't give up. I shouldn't give up,
bro.
What if you're 0-5?
If you're 0-5, give up.
Even still, no. Absolutely.
I'm not giving up.
Go on a run.
You might hit that league winner waiver claim and end up picking up a Kadarius Toney who works his way in. Do not give up on fantasy. You might have a Javonte Williams who's getting 8 points projected every week, but by week 15, he might be the number one back week to week in fantasy.
Shout out to my dad who decided to sign Toney. Dad, come on, man. You know why, though? And I know his response. This is why he's got a fistful of rings. He's won it. I've been running my league for 16 years, and he's won the damn thing 5 times. Well, he even named his team 1 year one for the thumb.
Shut the fuck up about Kadarius Toney and your father owning him.
Right. Well, we are setting lineups here, folks. And if you're in a situation where, you know, your quarterback's on a bye this week, you know, there are a couple byes. This is when the byes start to happen. So your Trey Lances are out. Jameis Winston's out. Zach Wilson is out. Not that you would be starting him.
I was going to say all these quarterbacks are
nobody.
Maybe Jameis Winston would be
zero,
a starter.
Zero start. No.
No?
No. Like a 20-man league, maybe.
Well, I mean, we are in a 16-man
but
league.
But even still.
Jameis, you don't think he's a starting quarterback in that 16?
All right. Fringe. Well. And like he... Depending on matchups, yes.
Okay. But. In any event, we do have some matchups for you to decide. So we're going to start with a quarterback, and it's my boy and Chris Shrieks' main squeeze, Taylor Heinicke of the Washington football team, or Sam Darnold, who has looked like Sam Darnold the last couple weeks of this football season. Respectively, Heinicke coming in ranking number 12 and Darnold number 13. The opponents is fun to discuss. The Chiefs, who have not been able to stop anybody. And, of course, the Sam Darnold of the world will be taking on the Vikings. So I leave this up to the fantasy experts here, Chris and AJ. Where are we going with this? Chris, we'll start with you.
This is a tough one for me because the Chiefs defense is so terrible, but the Chiefs are really, it's one of those times where going into the Philly game, I was like, wow, it sucks to be Philly, just happening to catch Kansas City at the worst time possible. Same deal here with Heinicke. I don't think that the Chiefs defense is going to do much, but they're going to constantly be scoring. So maybe, but I feel if you if you're between these two, Heinicke is probably a free agent, and you probably already own Sam Darnold because Sam Darnold was the number four overall quarterback in fantasy.
Because he was showing his wheels all of a sudden, too.
Last week. Minnesota's going to also score some points. I think the Sam Darnold game is going to be competitive. So for that reason, I'm going to go with Darnold because I think it's going to be a more competitive game. Heinicke, he might have some garbage late, but I think it's going to be a blowout, and there's a chance that maybe some bad picks and errant throws because he's desperate. It's a really tough one because the Chiefs, like I said, are really bad, but Darnold has been the more proven commodity this season so far.
AJ, where are we sticking with your former savior, Sam Darnold, or no?
No, I'm going with Taylor Heinicke here.
Oh, okay.
If you look at the numbers, actually, these two are basically identical.
Go ahead.
Because Taylor Heinicke, he missed the first half of a football game. He's only missing 10 points compared to Sam Darnold. That's basically one half of football for what Taylor Heinicke's been able to do. He's had 4 weeks now where he's scored over 23 points. He's balling out, and the Chiefs are a cupcake matchup. I honestly don't care who the quarterback is. If Brian Hoyer was being rolled out, I would be starting Brian Hoyer over Sam Darnold. That's
kind of what the sauce said about the 1-4 Colts going into the season. Right?
No, but I
yes. Listen, but in terms of fantasy, I feel
I'm in the AJ space right now, where I think that this game in particular is obviously tailor made for the Chiefs to just run them out of town, but it's also tailor made for a lot of points that the Chiefs also give up at the end. You're going to get that garbage touchdown or two. You know what I'm saying?
I honestly think that I don't know what the over set at, but
I would smoke that over. I
think that total could hit 80 in this game.
Yeah, this is going to be bad. So, all right, we're on to the next position, in which two guys that more than likely were picked up this week in free agency in your waiver wires, and that's Devonta Booker and Darrell Williams. Now, Darrell Williams is obviously backing up the lost Clyde Edwards-Helaire in Kansas City, so we just talked about them, and they're going to be taking on the Washington football team, those stud defensive players, them. And, of course, Devontae Booker, who came in last week for an injured Saquon Barkley against the Cowboys, didn't really do anything, but the Rams run defense, believe it or not, and I said this last week to somebody we were playing softball. I was playing softball with, where he's like, well, the Rams defense is good. I'm like, well, that's because you just think Aaron Donald in your head, but in reality, their run defense isn't that great. So I leave it up to you guys, Booker or Williams, which way you going,
Coach? AJ, first I have a question for you. Is there another running back starting sitting before I hijack this one and enter insert my own players?
There's no others.
All right, so I'm going to...
This is a good one, though.
So what I'm going to basically do is I'm going to make this a little bit of a hybrid because I don't know that many people were able to score both of these guys because I think that they were the 1-2 free agent acquisitions.
And remember, are also daily plays as well.
So what I'll do is I'll take these two players and I'll say if you are one of the people who happen to inherit one of these guys, not because of Barkley got hurt or because of Darrell Williams got hurt. Like, you're not replacing those guys because then you're clearly going to start them, right? But if you were just the number one waiver claim and you inherited an extra starting running back for a couple weeks, and let's say you have a Myles Gaskin on your team who is coming off of a big week but really hasn't done much for you coming into it, do you start a Myles Gaskin or a Devontae Booker? Or do you start a Myles Gaskin or a Darrell Williams? Now, that's the question that I have.
Now, are you going to be in that panic mode right now? Right. My dad's in a situation. He had Gaskin on a bench. Guy scores twice last week. But, like, are you in that situation now where because of the volume and because of everything that he did last week, and not for nothing, Gaskin's, I think he did it against Tampa Bay. So, it's not, you know,
look at Tampa Bay, though, on paper, their defense is pretty bad. Besides the rush defense. He wasn't exactly torturing them on the ground. He's getting receptions.
Their pass defense is really bad so far.
Yeah.
And they got a lot of injuries. So yeah.
Well, so does everybody. But, so I don't fuck Tampa, by the way. But anyway, yeah, let's get back to this, ahead. Right?
So you're all right. So in this situation, Gooch, you have your choice, Booker or Williams. Where are you going? You can't say Carroll Gaskins.
So. No, I am gonna. I'm gonna do exactly what I want because nobody has both of these guys, right? So I'm gonna start. Look, Devontae Booker and Darrell Williams. The defenses they're playing are ranked completely dead in the middle. They're like 17th and 18th each against the run. I like Darrell Williams more because they trust him on the goal line. Devontae, I know I went in last week and said pick up Devontae Booker, but I've actually had a change of heart since then.
Oh, so. I have to start him. So
well, point because you don't have
Barkley
or Darrell Williams.
Or Darrell Williams. Right,
exactly. so I would pick Darrell Williams hamstrung. Over Devontae Booker, and for the reasons being that he's trusted on the goal line. And the Chiefs believe in him. They've shown that in the past. So Devontae Booker, he's literally just like the only thing the Giants have. And because of the fact that Daniel Jones might not play and all the injuries to the receivers, they're going to be facing a stacked box. He did what he did last week against a stacked box, but you know, it was kind of one of those things where the game was kind of in hand. And I just don't see it for Booker this week.
Okay.
And I would start Gaskin over Booker.
Okay. HA, where are you at with this one?
Okay, so let's just say it was Gaskin or both of these fellas. I would start Gaskin over Devontae Booker. I just don't know if he's proven enough. Booker, I think, will get some nice looks in the passing game. Like, he could get four catches alone, which will bring him to about the 8-point range. I would probably go ahead and say 8 to 10. So I don't know. Does he get a touchdown is a question. I don't think that the offense is going to be able to drive the ball this week at all whatsoever, especially with Mike Lennon in that quarterback. If you go ahead and if you look at the Giants depth chart right now, half the team is injured. Half the team's injured. I don't like it. Darrell Williams, however, I think I would start over Miles Gaskin because the Washington football team, we talked about their defense coming into this year. They are dog shit. They're horrible. They can't stop the run. They can't stop the pass. They're flat out dreadful.
I think so it took last week Chase Young got his first sack of the year. Like it took him 5 weeks.
You look at it where it's like, all right, Devontae Booker is going to get his touches because what are the Giants going to do? Even if they're down
Daniel Jones
isn't playing, they're going to have a tough time throwing the football. Darrell Williams plays for a much better offense, and CEH was getting a lot of touches. He was getting like averaging like 18 touches a game. You expect him to at least get 15 touches a game in a way better offense with an offensive line that blocks, a quarterback that has respect. And as far as the Gaskin thing is, though, the coach, Flores, the offensive coordinator, they've all been talking all week, like, we have to get him involved more. So I do think that he's going to keep trending up as we go towards the middle
of
the season.
With it. All right, we're sticking with the Giants for a second. And this is, to be honest with you, this is a situation you definitely could have come across. You could be an Allen Robinson owner, right? Or you could be as somebody that, why are we shaking your head, AJ? You okay?
I didn't put the right goddamn team matchup.
Oh, it's okay.
Mess one thing up.
Don't stress it. But it is Tony against the Rams, and it's Robinson against the Packers. So we got Kadarius Tony, Allen Robinson. Now, again, I will say that there's a real element to this one because 9 times out of 10, if you drafted Allen Robinson, good for you, right? But you probably had a somewhat of a decent waiver wire pickup if you got Tony. So now I'm stacking them against each other, or AJ stacking them against each other. Are you going Tony against the Rams, in which, you know, he is wide receiver 2 at this point on the depth chart? Because I think they're getting Shepard or Slayton back, one of the two. Mike Glennon's throwing the rock around, but it's also Patrick Ramsey and the entire Rams defense. But Allen Robinson, man, he's been, he's been dropping the ball. You know what I mean? Like, he's not performing up to par.
Not getting targets.
Well, it's also Justin Fields' show right now, so you know, they need some kind of work.
You're making it seem like he's got a drops issue. He definitely
No. I'm just saying he's dropping the ball as far as statistics and performance is concerned.
He has 8 targets over the past 2 games.
That's a shame. Yeah. That's a damn shame.
So basically, this segment, you know, we've talked a lot about Kadarius Toney this week, and rightfully so. We haven't talked much about Allen Robinson, and also rightfully so, because he hasn't done much. But much like I said about Robert Woods, much like I thought about Mooney the couple weeks ago, like, I really do think Allen Robinson's in. He's due for a breakout game. I don't want it to come against my Packers, but the truth of the matter is Jair Alexander's out. If Eric Stokes is covering Allen Robinson, I feel like Allen Robinson is going to find a little bit of room. I do think Stokes is playing well, but a veteran like Robinson going up against a rookie, he's going to have some success. Plus, because of all the buzz, you got to imagine that the rookie quarterback is looking at the veteran receiver and saying, like, all right, I got to get this guy involved. Not that there's any type of issues in the locker room, because I think the Bears are actually kind of clicking a little bit right now. They have a chance to play. We'll talk about the game tomorrow. But Allen Robinson, I think it's him over Tony because of the same reasons. Even if a receiver comes back for the Giants, I think that the Rams coaching staff sees something in Tony, like we all do. And if there's going to be a guy that Ramsey's going to completely shut down, it's going to be Tony, right? So just the matchup and the potential that there's going to be at least a few snaps lined up against a premier corner in the NFL. And then on the opposite side, you got Allen Robinson playing against a defense that's been giving up the big play and is without their best pass rusher and their best corner. So
I raise this question only right before we get to AJ's choice out of Tony and Robinson. I raise this question because my dad and I always say this every week. When there's a backup quarterback that comes in, right, and there's backup receivers, do you find any merit to that? Like saying, like, well, he's throwing to the same guys that he's throwing to in practice. So there's like a more of a camaraderie.
100%.
That's a thing, 100%. Right? Yeah. Okay. So like Mike Glennon is throwing to Tony, they have a little bit more timing than Daniel Jones.
I watched it in the early days with Rodgers and Jordy because they were both, you know, Jordy wasn't really a starter yet and Rodgers was behind Favre. So as things materialize. They had a connection right off the rip because they were doing scouting.
Right.
They were always throwing with each other. So, good. Yeah.
So there is merit 100%. To that. I like that. All right, AJ, who are you going with out of this? Tony Robinson.
Well, I'm seeing the fact that Shepard and Slayton are most likely going to be able to come back this week.
Both of them?
Yeah.
I thought only one was coming back, but all right, go ahead.
They both returned to practice. So, okay. I mean, that's pretty scary for anybody trying to start Kadarius Toney. But my thing is with Kadarius Toney is I think that after what I saw last week, sounds crazy enough, like I think he could actually be one of those rookies that like just completely overtakes a wide receiver position. Sterling Shepard, he's good, but he's nothing crazy.
And that's why I think Ramsey's going
to
cover.
Yeah, like Darius Slayton, he's good, but he's nothing crazy. Like Kadarius Toney's the guy to stop on that offense. McVay's going to know what to do. He's going to get a little bit of locked up this week. Maybe.
So in that we'll regard, see. You're going to go Robinson.
I'm going Robinson. I mean, it's a bit of a scary play, dude. Justin Fields is, in my opinion, just not a good quarterback.
I mean, he will be. I would give more time to Justin Fields right now.
I'm going to give Robinson more time, too, because if you drafted Allen Robinson, there's a very high likelihood that you either drafted him at the back end of the third round, fourth, fifth round, the latest. So you invested
you
a better lot in this guy.
Yeah, you're relying on this really guy to perform.
You didn't invest much in Tony. And like it's obvious, like coming off the week that he had, as exciting as he looks when he's playing, like you want to start Tony.
Right.
And Allen Robinson's been, even when he's successful, is probably the most boring receiver in football. So you kind of don't want to start Robinson. You have a bad taste in your mouth. I just think that you'll regret it this week.
Okie dokie. And we're going to tight ends. Why don't we go with my boy, my new favorite, well, one of my favorite Cowboys going right now, Dalton Schultz. And we're going to compare him. Actually, they're playing each other. So this is kind of cool. Hunter Henry has come on as definitely, you know, finally starting to gel with Mac Jones. Dalton Schultz has been catching a lot of balls. In a PPR league, you know, Schultz gets a lot of balls his way. Does he catch them all? Not necessarily. But look, the Cowboys are playing the Patriots. The Patriots are playing the Cowboys. Gooch, where are we at with this one?
Obviously, it's a very good likelihood that you have both these guys. If you missed on a tight end in the draft, you've been playing the waiver wire. And these have been guys that have recently been added by a lot of people. So the Dalton Schultz has been obviously out of his mind this season. But you got to expect some type of regression because if you look at his projections, they're absurd. He's not going to set NFL records, I don't think.
Who?
Dalton Schultz.
And
if there is a week that he's not going to succeed, it's going to be against the Patriots. The Patriots have allowed the least amount of points to tight ends this season. The fact that there is a Blake Jarwin there that does kind of cut into his production just a little bit, albeit it hasn't really affected his fantasy production, it still is there, and it's something to keep your eye on. In the case with Hunter Henry, you could say the same thing about Jonnu Smith, although Jonnu Smith just isn't involved. Hunter Henry has had back-to-back weeks over 15 points or around 13
he
points.
He scores, right?
He's been consistent. When he's been healthy throughout his career, Hunter Henry has been a very, very productive tight end, back-end number one tight end. I'm going to go with the pedigree and the history here and the fact that Dallas is middle of the road, if not a little bit worse, at stopping the tight end so far.
Agreed.
I just think Hunter Henry is a little bit more of a safe play because New England does really good jobs against the tight ends.
I will say this, but and you already mentioned this, but if anybody's like just needs a more clear-cut thing, both of these guys have complementary tight ends with them on their roster. So this is like they're both split, like quote splitting time. So AJ, does that weigh in on your decision at all?
No, I don't really have much more to add, honestly. I think everything Gooch said kind of encompassed what I'm thinking about this one. Hunter Henry is the play here.
Okay. Okay, so I'll look for another tight end. So there is a game to be played tonight, ladies and gentlemen, and it actually is a good one. Consider what did we have last week?
It was Seattle.
Oh, Seattle and Geno, baby, let them cook. But no, we got a better matchup this week as we have.
How was the divisional matchup between two top? It was the NFC Rams West and the Seahawks last week.
That was such it? A what am I thinking of? The Jaguars. When was that? Two weeks ago. Oh, I'm sorry. That's what I was thinking of.
That was a great game.
I know. That was a
shitty matchup.
Yeah. Anyway, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers coming in 4-1. They're 2-3 against the spread. They are coming into Philadelphia, where the Eagles are, I would say, riding high. I don't want to really make those kind of judgments so far. There was a question that was asked yesterday. We kind of touched on it, but I'll retouch on it with the listeners right now. Maybe I'll put up a poll on some of our social medias. But as a Dallas Cowboys fan right now, there was too many Cowboys beat writers out there rooting for Tampa Bay to lose to Philadelphia, or at least pulling for the Eagles to win because the Philadelphia Eagles weren't going to be relevant down the stretch. Now, if the Eagles win this game, they're back to 500. If the Dallas Cowboys trip up in New England, they're only one game behind Dallas. So this is my theory and who I want to win. I want Tampa Bay to just wipe the floor with these guys and get them out of my ear just so the Dallas Cowboys can ride and just ease up on the NFC East battle. That's not where I'm picking necessarily, but this is where I'm going with that game. Do you agree? I know you probably don't agree, Gooch. You want the one seed. We said this yesterday.
Yeah, like I even going into the season, if I just assess the teams, if I have to change my assessment because the team I thought was going to be shit is better, like the Bears or the Vikings, because the Lions are always shit. But then I'll change my assessment. But I usually go into the season and I pick my division out before the season even starts. And I'd be like, okay, we gotta watch them every week. We got to watch them every week. And if a team in my division that I'm clearly ahead of, and I think, you know, if Philly catches you, shame on you. You know what I mean? You have a 2-game lead. You beat them up already. So technically it's a 3-game lead if you really think about it.
Yeah, it is.
In essence,
yeah.
I know that they have a chance to even that out. But right now you're in the driver's seat in the division. It's not up to you to look ahead or not. Like, the team has to look at the team in front of them, right? The Cowboys, that is, has to look at the team they're playing that week. As a fan, nope. You could project. You could be like, I want this one to happen. I want this to happen. Because
look at my next week's fantasy
opponent
until it's over.
I promise you, especially with the same record as Tampa Bay right now.
Yeah.
And a loss against them. That even strengthens the reason why you need Tampa to lose. Because you do not want to go play them in Tampa in the playoffs. Simple as that, right? And if you meet up with them, you need to have a better record. Guess what? I don't know.
Anyway,
it's more likely that you have a close record with Tampa than it is that Philly.
I'll start with you as far as game picks are concerned. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, obviously one of the more powerful teams in the NFC and the league. They just wasted the Dolphins last week and they wiped them off the face of the earth. But now the Philadelphia Eagles coming off the win. How do you see this game playing out? Not rooting aside for, not saying you're rooting for anybody, but I'm saying, like, where do you feel? What's your like,
nobody
here?
Nobody's going to come out here and say that the Eagles are going to come out and beat the Patriots. Nobody's going to. I mean, I do that so consistently.
It's because it's so natural.
That's going to beat the Bucks. I don't think that's going to happen. However, 7 points at home with a team that's playing with a little bit of confidence. Jalen Hurts looked like complete shit in the first half, but he balled out in the second half and brought his team back for a win. So there is a little bit of momentum going. They got a home game against the champs. So this is going to be their Super Bowl. Philly's going to be testing themselves. I think the game will be a little bit closer at the back end. Tampa's too much for Philly. Let's be real, right? So I think Tampa will win the game, but I think Philly has a very, very strong chance at a backdoor cover, which I'll talk about why in a moment.
Okay.
When we get to our player props.
AJ, where are we going with tonight's game? And as far as Scoop is concerned, Scoop Espo has been running the Chop Sports Survivor Pool, in which it's basically cut in half at this point. Are you confident enough to pick the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as your survivor pick tonight, Gooch?
No,
me neither. I'm not. So, no to that, Scoop. AJ, where are we at?
All right. So, when I was doing research for this game, I love the under in this game. I think it's going to be a low-scoring affair. Both of these teams struggle in, like, their home-away situational in terms of this game. So, Jalen Hurts, while he's better at passing the ball at home, he doesn't get the ball in the end zone as much.
Much.
While Tom Brady on the road, he only has one touchdown compared to the 14 that he has at home this season. So I think both those
offenses. He's only got one touchdown on the road?
Yeah. Also, the Eagles have the third best passing defense in terms of yards allowed. So I think that it's going to be a lot tighter of a game than people think. And I do think the Eagles have a chance to flat out win this one. I'm going with the Eagles +7.
All right. As far as, you know, fanhood aside, I want the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I know, again, you can project all you want. I want Tampa Bay to wipe the floor with the Philadelphia Eagles. There's never a bone in my body that can go into a week and say, you know what? I hope Philly pulls this out. At the end of the year, week 15, week 16, week 17, and they got to spoil some shit, fine. You know, but right now, in October, no. Get off that. But I will be picking the Philadelphia Eagles because of the number of being 7-point dogs at home. I feel like that is just, it's disrespectful. I know Tom Brady just kicked the shit out of the Dolphins. And when he does go away from games, he just lights up the scoreboard. But when it comes to the Eagles right now, and they're flying a little high, no pun, I feel like there's something to be said about that. I feel like there's something to be said about Jalen Hurts on the big stage right now. I know the last time he was on the big stage, he got starched by the Dallas Cowboys. I think he learns a little bit from that. Keeps it close. The Buccaneers win this game. Philadelphia comes in, you know, a little bit within the number.
I have a key betting trend here. So Tom Brady in the past 10 primetime games, 0-10 against the spread. Also, the Eagles, I think, are 5-1 straight up in their past 6 Thursday night football games.
These are tidbits you just can't get anywhere else other than the Chop Sports Daily. So, yes, for very good tidbits there. We're all taking the Eagles. We're all with the Eagles. Now we're going to move on to something we want to call prime time props. So we're going to be doing this for Thursday night football games and Monday night football games. And you know what? If you do want to add them to Sunday night football games, you can. But the games that we kind of solo cover, Thursday nights, Monday nights, here are the prime time props that we've chosen. Collectively, I guess you could say one each. I have taken the plus 125 primetime prop for Leonard Fournette anytime. This guy will find the end zone with his stupid yellow and purple shoulder pads that I can't stand, by the way. Just change them, man. I know you're LSU at heart. I get it, but just for the love of God, stop. You don't match. It makes me nuts. Zach Ertz, anytime touchdown goes from who? That was you?
That's for me. Okay. I personally think that Zach Ertz, he's getting a lot of targets this year, actually getting more targets than Dallas Goedert as of late. Zach Ertz, he's going to find the end zone in this one because the Buccaneers, surprisingly, even with Levante David, who is out this week, even with Devin White, they don't cover the tight end particularly well. So I think that Zach Ertz has a prime position to find the end zone this week.
I piggyback that by saying Dallas Goedert out.
Yeah.
You know, out with COVID. So we're whatever, close contact, whatever. But Zach Ertz is your tight end one right now. And again, that when you have a rookie quarterback, I've said this until I was blue in the face. When you have a rookie, not a rookie quarterback, he's another year
I
in.
I would still call him a rookie.
It's yeah, I guess. This is like his first official year as the starter. They look to their tight ends first and foremost. So, that's a good play. Plus 190 is a nice little payout there, too. Gooch.
I'm going with my boy Kenneth Gainwell, over 23.5 receiving yards. They really don't hand him the ball much, so when he's in the game, it's in a passing situation. And they look to him a lot, specifically in games where I think there's a chance that they're going to be down in this one. In the second half on a backdoor cover, I love Levante David's not playing is what I was going to say. But I love Kenneth Gainwell in there as a chance to – he could do it in one play. You know, the third quarter, fourth quarter, if you're down 14.
Whenever the numbers are low like that, I always think like, well, all it takes is one little, you know, one little play and he's good to go.
I've just been high on Gainwell all year, and he's had this, we say it all the time, Jekyll and Hyde. He's had one game good, one game bad.
Should I start him?
Coming off a bad game, I think he's going to put up some decent points.
Should I start him?
No.
Okay. That's the main question. There's your primetime props brought to you by MGM. Be sure to go check out chopsportsmedia.com. Click on the MGM banner. Please drop yourself a nice little fat deposit. Bet on these games responsibly, however. I know there's one thing that we've never really actually touched on is if you do have a gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER.
You eventually win.
Do not chase your money. Don't do it. There's been times where I've done that where I'm like, I'm only down 100. I'll get that back right now.
I was only down 14,000, and I begged my bookie to take one more parlay.
You know what I watched last night or two nights ago? And I just randomly put it on Dirty Work. Shout out to RIP Norm MacDonald, and Artie Lang's in that movie. But like Chevy Chase is the doctor, and he's like a degenerate gambler. Have you seen it? No? Yes? Maybe? No. But anyway, he's a degenerate gambler, and he's like, he shows up in like an arm sling and shit, and he's like, I owe my bookie. And then it's hilarious. But anyway, those are your primetime props. Be sure to check out chopsportsmedia.com. In any event, yesterday, nice little spike in the website. I don't know if that has anything to do with the marketing, the promoting, the sign outside, but there was a nice little spike in our website hit, so that's kind of cool. Go check us out there at chopsportsmedia on all social medias as far as Twitter and Instagram. Keep supporting the brand. New podcast dropped today. You know what? Scoop, good point, bro. The New York Street Team, he was handing out at Comic-Con. He was handing out flyers for us because Scoop is that dude. So as much as Gucci writes him off to be dead to the Chop Heads MMA podcast, he's still doing his thing for Chop Sports. I
never, ever said he was dead.
He's no longer with us.
I did make that
you
joke.
You did say that.
I usually make the joke, Scoop is no longer with us, and I'd be like, no, he is not dead.
But you didn't follow it up this time. I had to say, well, he's not perished. He's still alive. But thank you, Scoop, for the Street Team help as well. Be sure to go download I'm Your Football Team. That dude, I'm telling you right now. However, given... You know what? I haven't listened to it yet, given the climate of what's happened in the last couple days with Jon Gruden. I don't know what Keith Ernst has to say. I just cross my fingers that it's all good. But go check out his podcast. It's hilarious. Squeaky Bum Time, which, by the way, Mike Salerno, shout out to you for being a massive Rangers fan. I knew this, but I didn't know this. Like, I didn't know how much. And shout out to the Rangers for
also
stinking up the joint yesterday.
Shout out to me for not texting Mike Salerno back yesterday when he texted me about a hockey segment. And now you're just reminding me, like,
oh, he wants a hockey segment.
And I actually still have to reach out to him again about the overlay. Talking shop.
How about after this, we reach out to Mike Salerno? So anyway, so go support the network. We appreciate you guys supporting Chop Sports. Big things on the horizon, as always. And of course, thank you to Flipping Made Easy for the studio. Thank you to Absolute Eyewear. Thank you to Joe Pizzamenti at Attitude of Gratitude Consulting. Thank you to all the sponsors for supporting Chop Sports and for Sturch and Gooch. And of course, AJ, who's banging out these amazing graphics day in and day out. This has been another episode of the Chop Sports Daily. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Guess what? It's Football Friday. Thank God we've made it to another week. Let's go.
Is it Football Friday now?
Feel good Football Friday.
All right.
Okay.